Father, come. Open to us your word. Enlarge our tent stakes. Increase our faith. That we might be fervent not only in our prayer, but in the sharing of our testimony with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today is the eve of Ascension. I'm taking my story of the Ascension from another reading, taking it out of Luke's Gospel, if you have your text with you, your Bible with you, Luke 24, and I guess it's a good thing that I decided that I was going to read it, because it's different. Beginning in chapter 44, or verse 44 of chapter 24, it says, "And then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and that you are the witness to these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high.' And then he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up their hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and continually in the temple praising and blessing God." At the time of our text, the disciples had been through quite an emotional roller coaster, if you can imagine. Within the past few months, they had witnessed Jesus teaching at a level that they had never even experienced before. There was an intensity about him. Since he had turned his face toward Jerusalem and began the final ascent into that city, His fervency, his focus was both more to them and more about end times than ever before. They had seen miracle after miracle. They had shared an emotional last meal with him, not only to see him wash their feet, but he had identified to them his betrayer. They had been with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he not only prayed with a fervency they had never witnessed before and a heaviness that they'd never seen before, but they also watched from a distance, at least in part, as an angry crowd had cried out, "Crucify him." They were near when he was beaten, eventually being placed on a cross. They had watched him die. He who would be their king. No doubt these guys, these mighty 12, were in mixed emotions. They had hoped he had been the promised one. They had hoped that he was going to be that the man who would overthrow the Egyptians. They found themselves confused and leaderless. All of the events had taken place at such a hectic place. Jesus had died, but wait, he was resurrected? He had appeared to them? Let's look at the emotional contrast in just a few scriptures before that which I read, beginning in verse 36 of the same chapters, it said, "And now as these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be with you, peace on you, to you.' But they were terrified and frightened, supposedly thinking they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Doubts arise in your heart. Behold, my hands and my feet, it is myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones as I do.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, and marveled, he said to them, 'Do you have any food?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate. The man they thought and presumed to be dead appeared before them." What a confusing time. He didn't enter through a doorway. They were hiding from the Romans. I said Egyptians. They were hiding from the Romans. And he appeared in their midst. And from that point, for the next 40 days, he opened the word to them as never before. The scripture said he opened their understandings to the scriptures for his true purpose of even coming. Yes, he performed miracles. Yes, he healed the sick. Yes, he healed diseases. But his main function was not that purpose. It says in verse 46, the Christ will suffer. He said, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. He described to them in the last 40 days that his mission was to seek and save lost mankind. The function of Christ for 3.5 years had been to teach salvation. But it dawned the truth in the last 40 days after his crucifixion, the disciples guided. His purpose in this last 40 days, because it was 10 more from the day of ascension to Pentecost. In this time, Christ was building towards the Pentecost. In 49 it says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father to you. But stay in the city until I have clothed you with the power from on high." Then it's interesting. Jesus led them out of the city to Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. The meaning of this blessing was to invoke a proper benediction upon the disciples. This blessing was important because it was here that Jesus imparted to his disciples the instructions to go beyond the blessings of Bethany to the promise that awaited them in Jerusalem. It was here that Jesus then ascended into his glory and not seen again by his disciples. It was here at Bethany that we're told by theologians that some have built memorials, for they considered that spot that Jesus went to be hallowed and sacred. But praise God, the disciples didn't camp at Bethany. There are churches, whole denominations, that have camped from that day forward at Bethany. And they have rested on the laurels of Jesus' coming. But the disciples, understanding the work ahead, went back to Jerusalem to receive the rest of the story. That's what's neat about the ascension story. Jesus said, hey guys, it's been good, but there's more. I believe the church needs to awaken. Church of Messiah needs to know there's more. There's more for us. There's more for the church. There's more for humanity than the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ's birth because he gave us a way to the Father. There's more for mankind than the incredible life of Jesus Christ. There's more for the humanity than Christ's ascension. There's more for the disciples than the blessing of Bethany. I believe that the work of the church began. Listen to the rest of the story found in verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. It was good to be with Jesus for those 3.5 years. But Jesus could only have a relationship with 12. In his humanity, you can only have a relationship with a limited number of people. The law of supervision in a company says a person can only supervise so many people. And then he's got to replicate himself for them to supervise others. You can only have so many close friends. That's what's so comical about email. Everybody's your friend. Well, they're not. They're your acquaintances. Without multiplying ourselves, we can only grow so far. The disciples understood that. And when they went back to Jerusalem to get the rest of the story and was anointed by the Holy Spirit, look what happened. The Acts was written, and it was read tonight. In the first book of Acts, 1 through 5, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until that day when he was taken up after he was given the commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And he presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs according to them during the 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father after he had heard from me. And for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not so many days from now. Dropping down to verse 12. And then he returned to Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying with Peter, John, and James, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And all of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, dropping to Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today, saints of God, too many churchgoers are doing nothing more than dwelling in Bethany. God is moving and blessing every denomination across America. But too many people are satisfied with the content of the Bethany blessing. Too many followers of Jesus live off the past experience, what God did last year or 10 years ago. Many stop following Jesus at a certain point in their lives and simply live off the past. Most people are satisfied with their current spiritual status and have no desire to draw nearer to God. They're living in Bethany. I have a question for us to ask tonight. Are we satisfied with our current status with the Lord? Do we believe that there is more for us? The truth is, God has more for everybody. Why not move from where we are, our Bethany blessing, to our own personal Pentecost? Here's the challenge for us all. Now, this next week, the bishop's going to be here. But in 2 weeks, Father Melanson is bringing a sermon on Pentecost. We need to be prayed up, readied up, and expecting, full of expectancy, for God to come and lead us into a deeper understanding of a Pentecost experience. We need to be on fire and expecting. As tonight, Diane, I promise you, you were the last person on my mind when I started having these things. That was, you know, you're always concerned, people think you're manipulating. But I was just praying, God, because of 2 weeks ago experience for me, God, what's the word for tonight? And I'm going to start praying that more and more. God, what are you doing? I want prophetic to break out here. I appreciate the word that came out tonight for Carla. We're going to miss it sometimes. As Bishop Chuck told me, sometimes you need a shovel. Because there's poop that happens in the house. But you take the poop to get the glory, to get what God's doing. I believe God wants to move in our midst again. Amen. As he did once before. But we got to be ready to do it, okay? We got to be ready for high praise. We got to be ready for what God is doing. I want a deep Pentecost this year. I hope Scott Melanson, Father Melanson, works his tail off for the next 2 weeks and God gets up here and says, forget all that. Just listen to me and form the words as I give them to you. I just would be tickle pink to watch him stutter and stun and give us a word that so that he goes back and says, I didn't know what I said. What was it? Well, listen to the tape because it was great. I challenge God for that word that day. Forgive me, Father. But he's done it to you before, so you know what I mean. See, I believe ascension was a change in direction of the church of God. Because the disciples became no longer followers of Christ, but leaders of the church for Christ incarnate. I believe for the first time, Peter got it when Christ reaccepted him and forgave him. John got it when he put his hand on Christ's chest at the Last Supper. But the rest of the disciples, I believe, got it at ascension. And they all surrendered their life. And they made a difference for 2,000 years in the world. Guys, we got to get it. We got to quit counting the cost and move forward for Christ. For a victorious nation, for a victorious church, for Jesus Christ, who didn't count the cost, but gave up his life that we might be able to say, Abba Father, and know that we know that he answers us because he loved us first. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if you believe the living Christ loves us and gave himself up, please stand and say with me the ancient creed of the church, the Nicene Creed. It's either on the board or on page 3 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. We believe in Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, who was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, was suffered and was buried. On the third day he arose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world.
Amen. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, kneeling, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you of all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be with each and every one of you. Please turn and share the peace one with the other. What? I don't know how many is here, but there should be enough. Just bring it on. Well, okay. Come on.
I can ask God.
Some people have gotten confused. Yes, bring a side dish. Everybody bring a side dish. Bring two or three side dishes. Also, Bishop Simpson will be here for the fish fry, and then Sunday morning we'll be consecrated. We will be blessing this sanctuary y'all can come in and put up your purses, but we'll actually be gathering in the hallway and processing in as a congregation. Scott, do that? Hallway?
Yes.
It's officially in the bulletin that way. We got that worked out. The Bible study starting next Wednesday night, Father Melanson.
Father David, could I put everybody's attention to the screen?
I noticed it.
We know.
Merry Christmas.
What would cause jolly old Saint Nick to be so upset?
I give up.
Come next Wednesday night, and you will know the secret of this little picture. And we will begin the series on the Nicene Creed that we just proclaimed, and we proclaim every service. We will do the Nicene Creed unplugged. We're going to take it line by line, precept by precept, and have a decent understanding of just what are we saying every Sunday.
Which should be really cool when we got Pentecostal teaching staff. So this should be good.
And we've not found the heretics as you go along.
The rest of your announcements are on your yellow sheet. I think a canary or golden rod or fish sheet. Offer to God a sacrifice to you, praise. Right. Yes, we have one.
Austin.
Grandson. Son.
Austin's grandson?
Lon's grandson. Offer God a sacrifice to you, praise. Bring your tithes, his offering. Any spare change you have, anything else God tells you to do, bring yourself in God's.
Before we do the offering, what's June 14th?
Fusion.
Don't give me. Is it Flag Day? Fusion. For those of you praying for fusion, thank you, and continue praying for fusion. I have a lunch meeting I told you about on Sunday. I hadn't lined up a lunch meeting, but.